Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Sitka's spring herring fishery will be about 1,000 tons less than originally estimated, according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The harvest level for the herring fishery in Sitka Sound will be just over 16,000 tons. That's about 7% lower than the preliminary harvest amount, which was announced in December of last year. Herring management biologist Dave Gordon said the department revised the harvest level downward because sampling showed that the fish returning this year are smaller than last year. The revision is not unusual, according to Gordon.
It seems like a lot, but the quota is fairly large, so the change in tonnage may appear to some to be quite a bit, but percentage-wise, it's nothing out of the norm.
This year's harvest limit is still much higher than last year's, which was about 11,500 tons. Even with the lower limit, the fleet last year harvested only about half of its guideline harvest level.
The primary reason that we did not achieve the guideline harvest level was not because there was not enough fish. It was just the spawn happened so quickly that we were unable to catch pre-spawning herring, which you have to catch to get the product that this fishery demands, which is it's a sacral fishery, of course, and the eggs need to be in the herring for that to work.
In other words, because Sitka Sound is a sacro fishery, fishermen are focused on the herring eggs or roe and have to catch the herring before they spawn, when the eggs are still inside the fish. When the spawn happens too quickly, the fleet simply can't catch enough fish before those fish lay their eggs. The Department of Fish and Game will start aerial surveys of Sitka Sound around March 14th, Gordon said. The surveys look at the activity of marine mammals and use that behavior to gauge the progress of the herring.
We're looking for the distribution of sea lions and whales to give us a handle on where herring are concentrated. At some point in time, we will start to see changes in that distribution. The sea lions and whales will move in closer to shore, and indicating that the herring are pulling in preparation for spawning.
The department will use a combination of aerial surveys and test sampling to determine when to announce the start of the fishery, likely in late March. The Department of Fish and Game also reported that fresh bear cub tracks were found near the Indian River in Sitka. Residents reported hearing the bear early Wednesday morning. Fish and Game biologist Phil Mooney says it's best to avoid the area and let the cub find its way back to the dens so as not to risk waking a sleeping sow. Mooney also says that despite low temperatures, it's not too cold for a bear now. Longer days and the location of the den site might have caused that cub to roam.
The hibernation thing is more triggered by light than anything, and this particular site is not what we would call one of our typical den sites for the alpha bears. It's definitely down in the valley here, so it's most likely a younger bear, maybe her first set of cubs, and she just picked a spot where she was probably out of the way from some other bigger bears.
Since natural food sources are scarce this early in the season, Mooney says the bears will turn to whatever's available. He warns residents to secure garbage cans, grills, bird feeders, pet food, anything that could attract a bear. Bears may also start showing up on the trails early mornings and evenings is when they are most active. If you see a bear, Mooney said, you can call the Sitka Police Department at 747-3245 or ADFNG at 747-5449. The boys and girls basketball teams from both Sitka and Mount Edgecombe High Schools are competing in the regional tournament in Juneau this week. Last year, that tournament was here in Sitka. This year, though, all that noise and energy has been transported north to the capital city. In case you're missing it, Joe Zakowski of the Mount Edgecombe High School Radio Club and fellow student Chance K. Meyer sent us this audio postcard.
I'm Joe Zakowski.
And I'm Chance K. Meyer.
And we're in Juneau right now for the basketball regionals competition. We're at the game between MEHS and Petersburg, and it's the fourth quarter, and Mount Edgecombe is ahead, 39-24.
Let's go! Go, go, let's go! Let's go! Go, go, let's go!
Have the Petersburg Pep Band playing.
I.
The Mount Edgecombe boys posted a big win over 3A rivals Petersburg in round one of the regional tournament. The Braves downed the Vikings 51-29 in Juneau. Daily Sitka Sentinel sports editor Tom Hess is covering those games. He spoke with KCAW's Robert Woolsey about the Braves' tactics against the bigger Petersburg team.
How were they able to close down Petersburg's big men?
They played an interesting defensive set. It was a little bit different look. It was still the 2-3 zone, but a lot more player movement. That those zones shifted around the floor a little bit. They'd follow their players out further than you normally would in a 2-3 zone to cut off the three-point shooting, which Petersburg usually stretches the floor a little bit with their three-point shooting, but they still had the zone quality that let them collapse down on the big men. And another thing that changed the game was just foul trouble. Colby Bell, who is one of Petersburg's 6'6 big men, very tall, very long, great rim protector, fouled out in this game. He had three fouls by halftime. It just kept him on the bench most of the game, which kind of opened things up a little bit for Mount Edgecombe at the other end of the floor.
The Mount Edgecombe Braves will take on the Sitka Wolves today. The Wolves received a first-round bye. Hess believes Sitka's early season wins over the Braves reveal absolutely nothing about this next matchup.
This is a team that's built to peak at the regional tournament, and a lot of that has to do with these kids haven't played together all through middle school all the way. So the Sitka kids have. They're, because it's the state-run boarding school, Archie Young only gets so much time with them, and it takes some time to learn things that help a basketball team that you don't necessarily think about. These players didn't really know each other for the first couple months of the season. They still had to figure out where they kind of like to get the ball in what position, what shooter likes to be where, and now that they're hammering those things out, this team is really coming on.
The regional tournament is double elimination. The Petersburg boys will play the loser of today's Mount Edgecombe and Sitka contest. The championship game of this three-team tournament will be held on Friday. On the girls' side, the Sitka Lady Wolves lost a close contest to Petersburg 30-34. The girls now move into the loser's bracket, like the Petersburg boys. Hess says he thinks they can claw their way back to a championship. With Sid Riggs out most of the season with a broken wrist, the Lady Wolves center, Megan Reed, has anchored the Sitka offense. Hess says Petersburg double and sometimes triple teamed Reed to keep her off the ball. Beating Mount Edgecombe for either team will be a challenge. Hess says the Lady Braves dominated the regular season, beating Petersburg three times. The Lady Braves received a first round bye. They'll take on the Lady Vikings in second round action later today. Sitka Daily Sentinel sports editor Tom Hess is calling the regional tournament games live over KIFW AM 1260 on your dial in Sitka. For complete schedule information or to view the live stream from the tournament, you can visit our website at kcaw.org. A Superior Court judge has issued a ruling in a border dispute between Petersburg and Juneau. The judge affirmed the northern boundary of the Petersburg borough, approved by the state's local boundary commission in 2012. The city and borough of Juneau had contested that decision and was seeking to annex some of the same land into its boundaries. Superior Court Judge Luis Menendez issued his decision on the last day of February. Menendez ruled that the Boundary Commission decided on the most appropriate boundary for Petersburg and did consider arguments from Juneau. The contested lands are on the mainland from the middle of Holcomb Bay to Cape Fanshawe. The decision means those lands will remain under the jurisdiction of Petersburg's new borough. Juneau argued that the local Boundary Commission did not properly consider evidence submitted by officials from the capital city. They also argued that the contested area was more closely associated with Juneau. Petersburg officials claimed stronger ties to the area and argued that Juneau's evidence was considered when the commission took up their borough incorporation petition. Judge Menendez also wrote that there was no requirement for the commission to compare both communities' interests and connections to the contested areas. Juneau City Attorney Amy Mead says they can still appeal the decision to the Alaska Supreme Court, but that won't be her call.
I think that there were some significant legal problems with the analysis, but I really feel I need to apprise the assembly of that before I am more specific.
Meanwhile, Petersburg Mayor Mark Jensen was boarding an Alaska Airlines flight on Tuesday morning to take him right past those contested lands on his way to Juneau for the regional high school basketball tournament. Jensen was happy about that ruling.
Well, I think that's great. We've been going through the transition period already and spending some of the money that the state has supplied us to go through the transition period to this point and changing a lot of ordinances. And hopefully there's not an appeal by the Juneau borough and it'll just stand and we just move forward. So that's kind of a relief to have it behind us, if it is behind us, I guess.
Petersburg dissolved its city government and became a borough government after voters approved the change in late 2012. Petersburg officials also warned that invalidating the current voter-approved boundaries would create chaos with dissolution of their municipality and a restarting of the borough incorporation process. And at just about 1 minute, or rather just about 8 o'clock straight up, just a couple seconds away, you're listening to KCAW Sitka. That's it for Raven News for this hour. At 18 minutes after 8 this morning, we are going to go to our live interview, and we have a Mr. Torres in to talk about comic book writing this morning with librarian Carrie Sagel. I had that information incorrectly earlier today, so it's Carrie's along for the ride, but our featured guest will be Mr. Torres and talking about comic book authoring, and that should be very interesting. So at 8:18, just a few minutes away, hope you can stay with us for that. It is 22 degrees outside. It's fair, very fair skies with calm winds, a beautiful morning once again. Looking for some snow likely by Friday morning, but enjoy the sun while you can. Thanks for being with us this morning. Morning Edition will continue through 9 o'clock. Have a great day if you're stepping away from your radio.